I had to get it on the right way, right? I had to get it where it needs to be. That's right. That's right. There we go. Okay. I'm going to start part of the sermon like this. Okay. So you're just going to have to, I'll take it off at some point. Hey, today we're wrapping up the sermon series on vocation. And here's really been my heartbeat in this series is, can you guys take me seriously? Okay. All right. I'll take this off. Yeah. Sorry. Here's really been my heartbeat in this series as I'm talking to people. This is for years, but especially in the last few months, people are discouraged. People are already stressed out. People are burnt out. People are like, I'm struggling. And it's even like our church started in the recession. There's all these lessons we were learning about choosing faith over fear and not freaking out. Even when people were losing their jobs and living into unity, not division, all this stuff going on. And what's happening now is I'm seeing all those problems start again. And part of the reason of this series is to go, how can we view work? How can we view finances? How can we view our lives? How can we view worship as part of God's bigger plan? So that as no matter what happens in the next couple of years or more, that we're saying, hey, we are going to stay anchored to Jesus. And also a lot of people right now at work, they're just feeling burnt out. They're feeling fried. They're feeling like, hey, I got nothing left in the tank. That was one of the goals of the sermon series. If you missed the last couple of weeks, go back and watch. You can do it in our app. You can do it on YouTube. But there's some good nuggets of information there that we really want you to grab onto. Today, we're going to be talking about how work can be worship. How work can be worship. That might be a weird concept for you. You're like, no, worship's what we just did in the morning. That's what we do. We worship God. Or if I turn on music. Worship is more than music, right? But what we need a much deeper theology of worship, and then we need a much deeper theology of work, and then understanding how those two fit together. That's what we're going to cover today. It's going to be a lot of info. We're going to go pretty fast because a theology of worship could take, you know, a whole book, and a theology of work could take many, many weeks. But we're going to cover some key things, important things. And if you want to dive deeper into any of those, you can talk to someone, talk to me. But we're going to start with the video because we've been showing these videos of people in our church about how they live out their faith at work. Here's another one.
Hi, I'm Erin, and I just want to share about how I feel like God is using me at work. So for my job, I work at a high school in the attendance office. As part of our job, we do get to make a lot of phone calls every day to parents. And so I feel like as I'm calling parents, it's usually to kids who are often tardy or often not at school. And so when we make those phone calls, the parents usually have a lot to say and they just really need somebody to listen to them. So, I feel like, because Scott has challenged us and other people have challenged us, to give that 15 minutes. Are we going to give that 15 minutes to God? And so I listen to them. Just by listening to them, I am able to give them encouragement. I feel prompting sometimes when God just tells me, you know what? Let them know that you're going to pray for them, and then pray for them. And I do pray for them. Sometimes it follows up with prompting of send a card. And so I'll send a card in the mail and call them later on in the week, maybe the following week, just to find out how they're doing. So in the mornings, every morning, I do need to sit down and ask God to be with me every day in my work. And so that's something that I've learned to do over the years, and I know that it helps tremendously.
Right. Thank you, Erin. That was awesome. 15 minutes a day, praying on the way to work, following up with people, super important. Let's go ahead and pray. We talk about work as worship. Dear Lord, be with us today. Stretch us today. Lord, we're all here in church or watching online. And I just love that we've made the commitment to be here in the house of the Lord and to worship with your people. It's so important. But Lord, I want to pray that you can grow our theology of worship, grow our theology of work. When we get to that, it will change everything. It'll change how we work. It'll change how we worship. So God, deepen us today and praise in your name. Amen. All right. There are so many places we could go to talk about a theology of worship, but I thought a great place would be in the Psalms, right? Let's look at Psalm 111. And we got that page number up there. Look at it on your Bible or Bible app. We got Bibles out here in the seats. If you're online, follow along with us. It's on page 507 if you got that. We're going to be doing Psalm 111, 1 through 4. It says 14, but it's going to be 1 through 4. We're going to look at, you can also look ahead at this. There's like 10 verses in this Psalm. Look ahead. And again, here's what I think. If you get a theology of worship, it's going to change how you actually come into worship on a Sunday morning. You're going to actually have a different approach to what are we actually doing here? What's actually going on? And how does worship happen after church? How does worship happen in the afternoon? How does worship happen throughout the week? You're going to actually grow that in a different way. Let's read these verses. Number one, praise the Lord. If you want to learn a Hebrew word this morning, Hebrew for praise the Lord is hallelujah. Okay? So you know some Hebrew now. Okay? All right. I will thank the Lord with, what does it say? All my heart. I want you to think back to how you've been living this morning, not just in the singing, the whole morning. Have you been thanking the Lord with all your heart? Or it's like, now part of my heart. A little bit of my heart. Man, when my team does well, it's all my heart. But when God's rocking, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm not supposed to be too expressive in church. Who said that? Who said that? Right? How do we live into that, right? As I meet with his godly people, don't miss that. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Don't miss that. We're going to talk about that. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. Every time you're like, man, isn't God just awesome? That's actually God causing you to remember what he's done for you. Okay? Deepen your theology of worship. It wasn't like, man, I had this great thought today. It's like, no, God gave me this great thought about him today. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. We can keep going through all those verses, and you can go ahead and just skim down there if you want and look at just how great this psalm is, how it works. Let's start with number one. Number one thing in your theology of worship. Number one thing to understand is you need to receive. Okay, we're going to talk about receive, respond, and then rest and rejoice. But the idea is you got to start by receiving. Everything we do is always responding to God. God always initiates. Did you catch that? False religion thinks you got to earn your way up to God. You got to earn it. You got to work it. You got to do all this stuff. I have a little bit of mullet left in my tickling my ear. Okay. That's what false religion thinks. But the biblical faith is God always initiates. He initiated to Abraham. He initiated to Moses. He initiated to the disciples. God is the one who calls us. God is the one. You are here today, not just because you chose to get up today, because God got your butt out of bed. Right? God's the one who initiates. That's, you start by recognizing the fact that God's the one who does. There's this recognition of who God is and all he's done. Did you catch it in there? Right? It's, how do we know? We praise God with all our hearts. We praise God for his deeds, verses 2 and 3. We praise God for his character. I want you to think about that. Do you actually praise God for his character? It's really important to praise God for everything he's done, but what he's done reveals his character. Just from these four verses, God's character has glory, majesty, righteousness, grace, and mercy. That's in four verses. You understand what I'm saying? When you start by getting close to God because of who he, what he's done, but then you learn to fall in love with him for who he is. Isn't that with any real relationship? After a while, you kind of go like, man, I really appreciate who you are as a person. Not just what you've done for me. I just appreciate your character. Okay? Here's the difference with God. You know, with people, their character can be good and sometimes bad, and you just learn to accept that. With God, it's all good. And the more you reflect on who God is, the more you ponder, did you remember that in the psalm? The more you're going to find worship just start welling up in you. The more you reflect on who God is, man, God, this is what God's done in my life. Look back on your life, even on the worst things. This is what God did in my life. It starts to well up in you. Worship, you are made to worship. And when you reflect on God, worship starts to well up in you, which is why it's the worst thing, most tragic thing in the world when you have a child of God who refuses to worship. I'm not talking just about singing. I'm talking about worship, your whole life as a return to God, as a thank you to God. Because it just starts by pondering, saying, God, you're the one who gave me strength to work. You're the one who gave me energy. You're the one who put me in this place. You're the one who helped me be born to these people. You're the one who gave me these friends. You're the one who gave me these opportunities. God, you. And the worship just rises up. How could I keep myself from singing? How could I not say thank you? Someone saved me from this car that was going to hit me in the face. And I turned around and said, cool. No, we say thank you. Thank you. We hug them. We pour out to them. That's our relationship with God. We've got to receive. And I got to ask you, how can you posture your life in a way that puts your cup facing up? Because many of us at work, we're trying to pour from an empty cup. It don't work. It doesn't work. How many times do I have to hear people say, I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to be in a group. I'm too busy to do my devotions. You're pouring from an empty cup. How many times do I have to hear the same story? When you get with God's people, when you worship the Lord, when you take that time out, does that fill you up? Does it not get you back to work the next day, tomorrow morning, when you're going to worship God again, or to school, and you go, I'm ready now. I'm ready to get filled up. I got an idea. I got a perspective. I focused on God. My cup has been up. I'm filled up, and now I'm ready to pour out. We start with receiving. Can you just soak that in real quick? That's the beginning of a theology of worship. You start your life by receiving. Reflect on that. How can you do that? How can you do that on Sunday? How can you do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? No, Saturday too. How can you live receiving? When do you most receive from God? Multiply that. Hit repeat. Find a way to do that. It's going to prevent you from burnout. I put the gloves up there because I think we're kind of like gloves. How many of you use gloves in some capacity in your work? Okay? Right? Does your glove work without your hand? No. God is the hand, you are the glove. God is the hand, you are the glove. Okay? They're work gloves. They're meant for work. But God needs to be in you, filling you up for you to really work the way you're meant to work. Number two is receive, or is respond. Okay? Or return. This idea of what you've gotten from God, you actually give back. In verse 10, it talks about obey the Lord and grow in wisdom. Worship is returning to God what He has given to you. Can you just mark that in your brain as a definition? Worship is returning to God what He has given to you. You acknowledge it was from God and you give it back. So when we worship God with our songs, what are we giving back? Breath. Literally breath. You're not going to be breathing forever. Did you know that? Okay. You have that breath and you go, God, thank you for that breath. I'm giving it back to you. Thank you for this breath. I'm giving it back to you. When you're all stressed out and freaked out, you know one of the first things people tell you to do? Breathe. Focus on your breathing. Don't focus on all the problems. I'm going to breathe your spirit in and I'm going to give those problems back to you. God, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to give you worship. You gave me breath. I'm going to worship. Right? I'm going to do that. But it's also with your energy. God gives you energy and I'm going to use it to serve Him at work or at school or whatever you're doing. If you're caring for family, if you're staying at home, it could be your hands. It could be your finances. It could be your time. It could be your strength. All of it is going back to God. All of it is from God and all of it is back to God. That's what we're doing here on Sunday morning. One of the things we mess up on Sunday morning is we come into Sunday morning saying, hey, I'm here to be entertained. Rather than, no, before I even showed up on Sunday morning, I have been focusing on God, meditating on God, even as I'm screaming at my kids, get their butts out the door, right? I'm being filled up with God so that when I show up for worship, I'm giving back. That's why it's called a worship service. We're here to serve God. And yes, you get filled up as you worship God. But you go, God, I'm going to get filled up. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to meditate on your word. I'm going to be praying this morning. And then yes, I get filled up in church on Sunday, but I'm actually here to honor the name of Jesus. I hear people talking all the time. I really, really like that song. I really, really don't like that song. I really like what you said. And my question is, what is God like? Did God like how you sang that song when you didn't like it? Well, now we're maturing, right? Now we're growing up, right? Now we're starting to get a theology of worship. We go, it's not about what I like and don't like. It's about, I'm here to serve God. Now we're developing a theology of worship, right? Now we're getting to that deeper thing. Now we're saying, hey, I understand it. I'm here to return to God. Okay? And this just changes everything. This is when you get people to the spot where they go, if I'm as committed to Sunday morning as I am to Monday morning, my life's going to change. And I've seen people say, I cannot miss work, but you know, church is optional. Right? This is when we start to go, no, I'm here to worship the Lord with all my heart. One of the blessings I have in my life is I get have people come up to me, especially young people, say, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm not supposed to know what I'm supposed to do with my career. I have people who are in job transitions sometimes ask me the same thing. Here's the advice I give them. I wanted to share this with you because we're made in the image of God and we're trying to figure out what's the lane God has us for in our career. How do we return that worship to God? Okay? Three things. You got these triangles up on the screen. And it might be a little bit hard to read, but here's those three triangles. Giftedness, passion, and contribution. Giftedness, passion, and contribution. You want to try to find where those overlap. Okay? You want to try to find where those overlap. What brings results? What are the things that you do that you're actually good at? That you tend to have some giftedness at? You're talented at? That's your giftedness. What brings you joy? What are you passionate about? What are you fired up about? This is exciting. And then what can best help others? Okay? So I've talked to people who are like, I just want to do video games for my living. Right? I just want to play video games. And I go, hey, are you passionate about it? Yes. Are you really, really good at it? Maybe. Maybe they are. Usually they're pretty good. And I go, do you feel like you can really contribute through that? So now you're not playing video games. You'd have to write reviews, which means you need to be good at writing. You need to be good on camera. You need to be good at engaging people. Are you? Do you really like that? Do you feel like you can contribute in that way? Or can you do a Twitch stream and do entertainment? Are you good at entertaining people? And they go, well, that's not really about me. I'm like, yeah. Part of work isn't really about you. Part of work is about your gifts and your passions. And part of work is about how you're contributing to our larger world and what you're putting back in. But I'll tell you, a lot of people in the next few years are going to be going, am I really where I'm supposed to be? That's what tends to happen in uncertain times. I want to encourage you, write this down, or it's in the bulletin. Hold on to that bulletin and go, I need to remember these three things. And maybe if you're a leader over other people, you'll be encountering employees who are like, I don't know if I'm in the right spot. And rather than going, you have to keep working here, maybe you pull out this tool and go, let's talk about your passions. Let's talk about your gifts. And let's talk about where I see you being able to make the greatest contribution to our world. Find a way that those overlap and you will help them get into the right spot where God has wired them. Remember how we said a few weeks ago, like, everyone's not supposed to be a pastor. Does anyone remember that? Okay, everyone's supposed to be a missionary. That's what this is about. God has called different people into different spots, but all of work can be worship when we worship in return, returning to God for his glory. Does that make sense? God didn't make us all the same, so we're not all supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to do different things to have our whole world function in a way, but all of it is meant to be for the glory of God. Does that make sense? The money you make, the work you do, the time you spend, and especially in that time one, that brings us to that third one, rest. Rest, learning to rest, learning to rejoice. And I want to talk about learning to rejoice. Because the thing is, you can pretty much know that you have work out of whack when you forgot how to rejoice. When you don't know how to play anymore. When you don't know how to have fun. When you take yourself more seriously than God even takes himself. Right? Then you're on the wrong track. Like everything's just so, right? Whereas God knows how to have fun. God made fun. God enjoys fun. All that stuff's super important. Verse 1, if you go back to Psalm 111, I thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. There's just something about being with God's people that grows our worship and it grows our appreciation for God. It's just powerful. And I'm so thankful you're here. So thankful you've made that a priority. And I want to encourage you, kind of what I said a little bit earlier, make Sunday morning as high of a priority as work. Okay? If you can adjust your life to be back on Monday, adjust your life to be back on Sunday. Find a way to say, this is important to me. This is higher. And I don't know if you know this, our kids are watching us. Our kids are watching us. They know when that you say, God's most important, but they know that your actions line up, that work is more important than being with God's people. They see it. And not just your own kids, the kids in our church see that. The kids in our generations see that. I'm not saying you have to be at church every single Sunday. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you make that commitment, it grows you and it will actually grow your work. I said a few weeks ago, the people who don't know how to rest don't know how to work. And that may seem like a total contradictory statement because we live in a workaholic society, right? If you don't know how to rest, you don't know how to work. It's only in resting that you actually understand the purpose of work, the drive of work, and how to work without burning yourself out. Okay? Or let me push it a little further. If even God rested, then you're basically saying, God, I know how to do work better than you. I don't need rest. You rested, but I don't need to. Jesus rested, but I don't need to. Something's going off in your theology of work and theology of worship when you're doing that. So that's pushing a little bit hard. I don't want to push too hard on that. But every month I do a half-day retreat. Take time, go out for 5 hours, typically into the mountains, spend time with God, pray, journal, do this stuff. I love it. It's one of the things that's super important for me as a pastor. I love doing that. I encourage you to do that. I had a friend years ago, we're talking about it. I would share about my half-day retreat. And he was like, oh, that must be nice. You ever get that from people? When you're doing something really good, really healthy, really godly, and you get kind of a little guilt trip. And I felt, I didn't know what to say. I was kind of hurt. And then a couple months later, I was sharing again, hey, I'm going out on this half-day retreat. I'm super excited for it. And he said it again. He said, that must be nice. And I had my answer ready. Ooh, I was glad. I was glad this time. I was ready, right? And I said, it is nice. You should do it. What's holding you back? Right? How often do we look at people and go, oh man, they have it all made. No. If you see a healthy pattern, go for it. Right? Be a victor, not a victim. Right? Live into that, like, hey, I can live into rest too. What would happen? Honestly, what would happen if you spent 5 hours once a month reflecting with God, filling up with what matters most? What's going to happen when you go back to your family? What's going to happen when you go back to your friends? What's going to happen when you go back to work and all the people pressing for your time? What's going to happen then? You're going to now have a full cup. You're going to have something to pour from. Do you know what it's like to try to pour from an empty cup? Anyone know what that's like? Anyone know, like, I got nothing left. And you know what you tend to do? You tend to not only be burned out, you tend to burn other people with the fire of your anger. You got nothing left. You have to fill yourself up. Friends, we're at the end of the month. This is Pastoral Appreciation Month, and I got to mention it. Not because I need any thanks or praise or anything like that. I do this for Jesus alone. But I just got to ask you again to be praying for your pastors. The beginning of the pandemic, a huge number just said, I'm retiring, I'm out, I'm done, and stepped out of ministry. Huge number of people have left California, moved to other places where it's easier to be a pastor, where there is more appreciation built in to being a pastor. To this day, right now, for those who are even left, 43% of pastors have considered leaving pastoral ministry, not moving, leaving ministry altogether, right? And because of that, many people, when they're even considering ministry, are like, why would I want to do that job? You have a whole bunch of people dumping on you all the time, right? And my answer back is, it's okay if people dump on you as long as you empty the tank. As long as you empty the tank. So you will see me saying to you from time, I'm not available. And all people going, just feel like you're never available for people or something like that. And I answer back, yes, and you should have some times you're not available either. I have to model it even if it makes you mad. That's called maturity. Okay? Right? And I'm the most immature person there is, but like sometimes I grow up, right? You see what I'm saying? Right? That's what we have to do together. And it doesn't mean I don't want to hear your stuff. I do. Give it to me. Share it with other pastors. Share it with each other. We have counseling referrals. We are here to serve you. That's our call. We love it. I love my job. I love what we get to do. I love that I get to teach you God's word. I love that we're here this morning. I love being your pastor. It's great. And I love the team of pastors that we have. Okay? You guys are incredible. And I just want to say thank you. But I also want to encourage you to keep praying for your pastors and let's keep doing life together. Let's keep getting stronger. A lot of people say, I want to go back. I want to go back to a couple years ago. You know what I say? I want to go forward. There are lessons that I learned about myself and my soul in the last couple of years, and they were dearly bought. I don't want to forget them. I don't want to forget them. I want to build on them. Let's move forward together. Okay? We got another video, a little testimony on work. Let's watch that here.
Hi, my name is Patricia Bovenkirk. I'm a first grade teacher, and past couple years I've started praying in my classroom when I first go in. I've had partner teacher who didn't really interact, and she's interacting more, and I've seen how God has helped with my students and helped me reach them. Student who didn't interact last year is now interacting, and I can get work out of him. I have a student with special needs, and I'm able to reach him and the other students. Even the students that gave me a hard time last year are coming up and wishing they were back in my class. So I've just seen a lot more of God in my class with me praying every time when I go in.
All right, Patty. Awesome. All right, we're going to talk now about developing a theology of work. We're going to be a little quicker on this one since we've talked more about it over the last few weeks. Main idea we're going to is work as if you were worshiping the Lord. So how can you find that overlap? Let's put that up on screen there, Ben. Work as if you are worshiping the Lord. So when you go to school tomorrow, go, this is my act of worship. Have you ever been like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired on Monday. I'm just, You ever have that? Do you ever have that at church too? Right? Yeah, sometimes we have that at church. Sometimes I have that at church, right? Sometimes I'm sitting there praying in the green room like, God, wake me up, right? Doing push-ups, like, I gotta wake up. Right? Yeah, but if you can do that for Sunday, then do that for Monday. Right? If you're like, hey, I actually want to serve God here on Sunday, I want to serve God here on Monday. Have that idea, have that mentality, no matter what you're, even if you're retired, have that mentality. You don't retire from serving Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So even if you're retired, you're still working. Even if you're out of work or on disability, you're still working. God, you're serving God in that work. Okay? So Luke 9, 1 through 6, page 860. So again, turn there in your Bible app. There's some good stuff here you're going to want to write down. And I hope it really changes how you view Monday morning. It's really been the point of this whole thing. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He instructed them, take nothing for your journey. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if that town refuses to welcome you, shake off its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you've abandoned them to their fate. So they began their circuit of villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Couple quick points that we've covered in previous weeks. Number one, your true vocation is following Jesus. Your job is your profession. It's not your vocation. You want to try to find that overlap and live out your vocation to follow Jesus at work, home, and church. We talked a lot about how people are really good usually in one area and not so great in another area. So they're like these incredible character-led leaders at home or at church, and then they're like just so-so at work. Or they're incredible at work and they won't serve at church. The idea is you want to have that integration between work, home, and church, finding out God has called me into all three areas. Number two, Jesus is your boss. Jesus actually teaches you how to work. And that's the question I asked last week is, do you believe Jesus knows how to do your job better than you? Which means, is Jesus actually teaching you at work how to do your job, even in the technical details, right? This is part of your theology of work is, do you believe that God actually can train you how to do your job better than you know how to do it right now? Not just on the spiritual stuff, on the technical stuff. That's what we talked about, okay? And our work is part of God's work, and give your best and live as a representative of Jesus. That's what we talked about last time. Looking into Luke chapter 9, here's some things I want to pull out. Number one, work with purpose. Work with purpose. Do you believe at your job, even if you don't like your job, that God has actually sent you to your job and that you have a purpose there? Once you start accessing that purpose, you will start to find a new fire in what you're doing. And I've talked to people who've discovered what God's purpose is in their work. Woo! They are fired up because they can withstand all the nonsense that they're dealing with, or the hardships they're dealing with, or staff coming in, or staff that they have to lay off, because they go, I understand this purpose. They understand when it's time to leave that job. They understand when it's time to rest from that job. They understand that God's actually working on their work more than they are working on their work. Do you believe that? Because I know some people don't believe that. They go, I got to do my job because God ain't going to do it. Right? This idea of God's at work in this work. I am here to be part of His hands and feet. I'm the glove. He's the hand. Let's get this going. It's powerful. Understand your purpose. Now, if you have a boss or you have teachers, of course they have power over you. But understand, if you're at school, God is really the one trying to teach you. God's the one trying to instruct you. He's trying to teach you about Himself. If you're an apprentice, God's the one really trying to apprentice you and work on your character. I said to my kids this week, I said, hey, the real point of life, the real point of English, if you don't like English, how many of you loved English in school? How many of you did not like English? Okay. Okay. No matter what subject it is, you can call it math or science or English or whatever. Okay. The real point of that, if you don't like the subject, the real lesson that God's trying to teach you is not, do you understand critical thinking and how to do that, how to read, reading comprehension, all very important. The real lesson is, do you know how to do something you don't want to do and still do pretty good at it and get assignments done on time that you don't like? Are you going to use that lesson for the rest of your life? Have you guys continued to use the lesson of doing things you don't like doing at work? Yeah, that's what happens in school. That's the lesson God's trying to teach us. That's the lesson that some people who are listening still need to learn, right? Doing things that you don't like doing, but you still got to get them done. These are important lessons. God's trying to teach us, work with a purpose. Understand what God's doing. In the first week, we talked about how Peter had his life-changing encounter with Jesus. You know, when he had this miraculous catch of fish and Peter has this encounter with Jesus. That was at work. And I think a lot of us have a bad theology of work because we think my God encounters are only going to happen at church or in a church event. Peter's God encounter happened at work. Can you have that sort of theology of work that, God, I expect you to show up today. You're going to be here in a way that I'm ready to see. And even when it's tough, you're still working. That is powerful. And I promise you, if you do that, it's going to change the way you work. And it's actually going to change the way you're at church too. Because you're going to understand sometimes church is going to be tough. And you can hang in there. You don't have to bail the first time you have problems. You don't do that at work. Don't do that at church. Right? It's going to grow you and strengthen you. It's going to be incredible. Someone emailed me a story and just said, hey, I've been starting to pray and understand that God is at work. She works in a community garden. Right? And she said, oh my gosh, I hate weeds. Right? I hate weeds. And she goes, I just have to, you know, pray, and I'm just worshiping, and I'm actually gave myself a goal to memorize a verse every single day. And I'm just doing that as I work with God on His garden. It's changed me. Love that story. Okay. Number two, kind of number three, if you count the previously, if you want to do it that way, seek out support. I want you to go back with me into Luke chapter 9. If you got your Bible still open, look at this with me. He says, take nothing for your journey. Don't take a stick, traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Stay in a house. Stay in a house and stay in that house until you leave the town. For our culture, this would be harder than casting out demons. Asking other people and being reliant on, we have been taught not to rely on other people. And it is killing us. It is killing us. The first thing the predator does is isolate you from the pack. The first thing the predator does is isolate the prey from the pack. We are in a spiritual battle. And I love self-reliance, and I think it's really good. But we believe the lies that we shouldn't have any support. And we know it's a lie. You're not born alone in the wild. You have parents. You have a family. We are mammals, right? We know support. We know our kids need to be in church. We know they need to have people around them. We know it takes a village to raise a child. We know all this stuff. And yet somehow when it comes to work, our theology of work just disintegrates all this important stuff. And we go, I should be able to do this all by myself. And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? All of you, if someone needed your help, would be like, absolutely, 100%, I'm there, no problem. And then I go, can you ask for help? And you're like, absolutely, never, ever, I will never do that. I would rather die than ask for help. Right? So you're totally willing to help other people out. And when it comes to people helping you, you're like, absolutely not. And I know what you're afraid of because you all have that friend. I have a few of those friends too who ask for way too much. And they milk off you and they leech off you. And you're so, don't forget the lies of the devil. You're so afraid of being that friend that you have done the opposite and Satan has got you. Satan has got you. Man, that's the greatest lie I can get you to believe. Just don't become like that person. Oh, great. I'll do the opposite. Great. You're alone now. I'm going to nail you. You're alone. And that's why we're in church. That's why we get in groups. And that's why we serve on teams. For my doctoral research, I did a whole thing on why church planters were making it or not making it. There were a lot of things that we discovered, but one of the top on the list, the thing that I've been passionate about, things I wrote my dissertation on, things I've been teaching about when I go talk to other leaders and conference is support. You need 5 supportive people in your life. We'll put it up on the screen. We call it supply lines. We call it supply lines. You need soul sharpeners in your life. You need vision casters in your life. Do you have anyone like that who just helps you to dream about what your work could be? No, I don't need anyone like that. I just do it alone. Well, is that part of why your dream is so small? Right? Encouraging tail kickers. People who believe in you, but help you get through that problem. Heart healers and friends. That's 4. And then strategic thinkers. People who can think through the tactics of work, the logistics, the specific. Usually someone in your field needs to be a strategic thinker. I think you need all 5 of these people in your life. I think you need them there. I think you need to meet with them regularly. And I think you probably need to have about 1 meeting a week. And that sounds crazy, but imagine if you had 1 meeting a week that was about you sharing, you pouring in. This is why in that 4th category, heart healers, this is why people really advocate for having therapists. So it's just about you. And the reason I had to really share this with pastors, and some of you will resonate with this, some of you won't, is because for a pastor, if I ask them how many meetings a month are about you, are about being poured into you, and their answer for the most part is 0. So what happens when you have no one can pastor you, but you have to pastor everyone else? Burnout, lack of vision, desperation, chaos, right? And you know who bears all the brunt? Their spouses. Their spouses have to be all 5 rather than going, no, okay? You need to actually have people in your life that Jesus can work through. You still need to pray. You still need to do all this stuff on your own. But I tell you, I've been telling this to people in our church and the people who do it, it's hard to find them. It's hard to find these people. But when you find them, you go, can we meet regularly? Can you pour into me? Can you have this be, it will change you. If you imagine having someone who's just pouring into that, not a sermon, like to you, to your life. This is why we do mentoring in our church. Someone's like, I'm going to talk about your habits. Well, I don't want to talk about my habits. I just want to talk about my problems. No, we're going to talk about the root. We're going to talk about the deep roots. What about your habits? Right? Let's get into that life together. It's so powerful. I want you to think about this. I want you to write some of that stuff down. I want to challenge you again. If we want to talk about it later, we can. But this can change everything. It makes such a big difference. Okay? Powerful, powerful. Work with purpose. Seek out support. Work with purpose. Seek out support. Jesus is your boss. Another video here from our brother Anthony Battaglia, who talks about when God gets a hold of you, you stop treating people at work like commodities to exchange. Start viewing them as people. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Anthony Battaglia. Oftentimes we link who we are with what we do, our career, when in fact those are 2 distinct things. You are a child of God, given special and unique gifts. It is with those gifts we have an opportunity to either find a career or make the one that we are in more fruitful. I've been more intentional about separating who I am from my occupation and the resulting success or failure, modeling what that means for others, being the same person within these walls as I am outside of them, regardless of what is going on around me. We are with our coworkers for as much waking hours as we are with our families. Treat them as such, and remind them of their value, as in who they are, not what they do, that makes a difference. 1 Corinthians 12:6-7 states, God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Help one another without expectations or transactions, and you'll start to see God move a little bit more in your workplace.
All right, main point again, work as if you are worshiping the Lord. I hope you can go into tomorrow morning, whether you're at school, work, retired, not working, whatever, looking with a new sense of purpose, a new sense of understanding what God's up to. So here's what I ask you as we close, just as we reflect and as we go into prayer. What would it take for your work to be worship? What would that take? Maybe you need to deepen your theology of worship. Maybe you need to deepen your theology of work. Let's pray on that. Let's reflect on that for a minute. Let's not leave today without being ready to take some action. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you that we get to gather online and in the house of the Lord to worship you. And Lord, thank you that we get to work. Lord, even for those who are retired or in school, you've still called them to your work. God, be with them. Give them direction and purpose. Help them understand that you are always at work. Lord, help our work to be worship. Help us to integrate the different areas of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.